Welcome into A to Z Sports Prime Time from the Zen Sports Studios. I'm your host, Buck Rising, and I am proud, as always, to be presented to you by the wonderful folks at TrueMav Fitness in the Gulch. Go to TrueMavFitness.com for your first workout free. As a Middle Tennessee resident, no workout ever recycled or repeated. That is what the fine folks at TrueMav Fitness have to offer you. Of course, Two Rivers Ford, quality American-made Ford vehicles and award-winning customer service is what they pride themselves on. Two Rivers Ford in Mount Juliet or online at tworiversford.com. And the Ashton Real Estate Group of RE/MAX Advantage, GaryAshton.com for your dream address without the stress. Don't sell without the intel that the Ashton team can provide to you with the official real estate agent of the Nashville Predators at GaryAshton.com. So let's talk Titans and let's talk contingency plans for this particular team to try and put itself back together. We know the issues. We know the struggles along the offensive line. And the most obvious selection for the Titans at number 7 overall is to take Joe Alt, the left tackle from Notre Dame. We've talked about this a million times, and over the course of basically 5 off seasons, I feel like I've been doing Titans need a tackle talk. Since Jack Conklin left in free agency, this is basically the same rinse and repeat conversation that we've had over and over and over again. But in some circumstance where Joe Alt isn't available to you at number 7 overall, how would you prepare or how would you want your team to operate in that kind of setting, which is where we will start with our Two Rivers Ford take on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. What should the Titans pivot to if Joe Alt is selected before number 7? If for some reason that guy ends up going to the Chargers, for example, as many people have projected in their mock drafts, what should the Titans pivot to if Joe Alt is selected before 7? It is your Two Rivers Ford take. It is made possible by the people at Two Rivers Ford. Quality American-made Ford vehicles and award-winning customer service is what they offer. They will go above and beyond to put you in position to succeed. Two Rivers Ford in Mount Juliet or online at tworiversford.com. The best in the business here in Middle Tennessee over the course of the last 40 years. So, how many different options would you have on the table? Let's see. Scary Harry on YouTube says Malik Nabers. Neighbors, if you can't trade back, says Angelica James on Facebook Live. Stephen King says hashtag Rome is burning. I assume he's talking about Odunze as opposed to Jim Rome, but either way, you could use a little Rome here in Tennessee. Karen O'Keefe says on Facebook Live, if Alt isn't there, take the next best left tackle at 7 overall. And I don't know how many people would agree with that notion. It's not an easy situation to try and figure out, but Rand Carthon was asked the question about the tackle circumstance on the roster, about both what they have added in free agency. Now, this was prior to trading for Leroy Watson. I don't think it's Leroy Watson. I don't know. I'm not certain if it's Leroy or Leroy Watson. Either way, the tackle from Cleveland, who they traded the 7th round pick for, 227 overall, to be specific. This was prior to that acquisition last Friday. Rand Carthon speaking with the media. I believe this was on, 2 Wednesdays ago, whenever Snead was announced. This is the Titans GM.
Well, here's your starting left tackle in the draft.
We'll answer draft questions at a later date because, again, this is more about free agency. And to say is our starting right tackle, we got more than 5 offensive linemen on the on the roster. So we can roll out any 5 and call them starters if you want to at this point. But we're, again, we're going to, like I just told TD, we're going to continue to look to bolster up front. We've added weapons around Will, still got to be able to protect him. Got 2 good backs out of backfield that can make explosive plays. So we want to continue to balance this thing out, you know, and make this a balanced football team.
Balance is certainly something that the Titans have lacked, and it's in no small reason because of the offensive line group. They have been working through this process over and over again the past couple of years, trying to get it right under John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, unable to do so. Whether it's Isaiah Wilson, Dylan Radins, Andre Dillard, or all the other mistakes that they've made, and patchwork moves that they've tried to put this thing piece this thing, bandage this thing back together with Aaron Brewer at center, trying to get a couple of good seasons out of Daniel Brunskill, which, you know, may pay dividends this year. We'll see, with improved help around him. But still, these are not quality players that you can build a foundation of your football team on. These are the kind of moves that you're trying to basically get away with and trying to survive. And ultimately, if you're the last coaching staff and last front office administration, you were unable to survive them. Old line coach, not O-line coach, but old line coach says on YouTube, "Hey Buck, since we now have an O-line coach, I am back to participate. I'd be on the phone trading back." So the difference between the vibes around the Titans right now and the vibes around the Titans last offseason, it's wild how big a difference Bill Callahan has made. And that's why I think the scenarios with the offensive linemen that are available to you, specifically in this draft class, it's not the end of the world if you don't get Joe Alt at seven. The three contingency plans are this. The first and foremost, depending on who's there, is you stick and pick the best available player on your board, whether that is a Rome Odunze, a Brock Bowers, a Dallas Turner even, because you do have needs on the edge. I know a lot of people would be up in arms if the Titans took a defensive lineman seventh overall or an edge player seventh overall, given the needs on the offensive line and still help required in the wide receiver room. But this is a team that has needs all over the place, and certainly Jeff Simmons and Harold Landry and Arden Key would benefit from an additional pass rusher in that group. You have the option to stick and pick the best available player. Secondarily on that list is the option to trade back, as old line coach and many other people have suggested that this team able to do. Between six, where the Giants are currently selected to pick, and 11, where Minnesota currently is selected to pick, or currently slated to pick, you're going to have a ton of action. Trades up, trades back. New England is not an inconsequential figure in all of this, sitting there at three with an obvious need at quarterback, but Jake Brissett, Jacoby Brissett, there to kind of satisfy that. So maybe a good enough player for them to build out a better team around a lesser quarterback that they may be able to add in the draft. It's a, it's not as cut and dry as I think many people would make it. And sometimes it might just be that cut and dry. We might see four quarterbacks go straight off the board. Somebody who's interested in a quarterback may trade with Arizona, who's currently scheduled to pick at four, and make the move to come up and get, maybe it's J.J. McCarthy, maybe it's Jaden Daniels, whichever the fourth of the four quarterbacks is. That's kind of where they're at. And then the third scenario is to take the best tackle available at number seven that's not named Joe Alt. Now, that's the least likely scenario in my mind for a variety of different reasons, but I would understand why people like Karen O'Keefe earlier on Facebook Live might entertain that notion just a little more. We'll get into it and we'll read more of your answers. What would you do if Joe Alt was not available for the Titans to select at number seven overall? What would your strategy for the Titans be? We'll discuss at length. You'll hear more from people around the team right after I remind you that the Primetime program is presented by TrueMath Fitness in the Gulch for the best workout in Middle Tennessee. You need, absolutely must have, the fine folks at TrueMath Fitness. They are there to help you. Nobody puts you in better position to succeed with your physical fitness. No matter what your fitness goals are, whether it's improved health, whether you want to physically look better, whether you want to improve your sleep, and using physical fitness as a way to do that, to improve your mental health, physical fitness is also critical as well. TrueMath Fitness is there to help you with no workout ever recycled or repeated. Go to TrueMathFitness.com, where your first workout is free as a Middle Tennessee resident. So looking at the different players that are there to select, Stevie prefers that they trade back. Devon says Brock Bowers, then the left tackle in the second, which is also a strategy that you can employ. Brock Bowers is probably going to be the hardest player to place in this upcoming draft class. It's pretty interesting to see the lack of success that first round, specifically first round tight ends have had. And there's a good note in here from Adam Schefter that I will pull up for you here in just a second. Or excuse me, from Sheil Kapadia of The Athletic. He said on Twitter, this was yesterday, in the last 10 years, 9 tight ends have been picked in the first round of the NFL draft. They've combined for 0 all-pro nods and 1 1,000-yard season. 1 of 9, David Njoku, got a second contract from the team that drafted him. Players that are still to be determined are Dalton Kincaid with the Buffalo Bills and Kyle Pitts of the Atlanta Falcons, where famously they have not been able to get the ball to the playmakers in an efficient enough fashion. So the first round tight end stigma is pretty real. And I'm not sure. Smarter football people than I would have to be able to sit there and tell you about why the tight end position has not worked out, or why specifically the first round tight ends have not worked out. Because what Wyatt says is so, Brock Bowers is a glorified wide receiver. Well, I hesitate to compare him, Wyatt, to Taysom Hill. But I like the idea of, just conceptually, Brock Bowers, not a tight end, not a wide receiver, not a fullback, but just a football player. A very, very highly skilled offensive football player, which is basically how Sean Payton was justifying the contracts that they kept giving to Taysom Hill year over year. And by the way, Taysom Hill continues to have a very successful NFL career by being a just general football player. Now, I think that Brock Bowers has a more specified role than that, and I do think that he's certainly a higher level prospect at these tight end specific position, but he is somebody who you can deploy in a variety of different situations. He reminds me a lot of, so like Delaney Walker was a fullback in San Francisco. Okay. He wore the number 46. He came to Tennessee. He got deployed by both Ken Wisenhunt and Mike Mularkey in a bunch of different creative ways. And while Delaney was a tight end in the truest sense, he was still lined up in the backfield. They were still running jet sweeps for touchdowns on the goal line with Delaney Walker. You could give him carries. This is a player that displayed a level of versatility that was uncommon and didn't necessarily have a defined role prior to his second, like, career life, which was in Tennessee, because his role in San Francisco was vastly different. Flatly, he's a weapon, and I think that's something that has to be considered here for a team like the Titans that just needs upgraded weaponry, and exploring the possibility of Brock Bowers at 6 makes that much more viable. So let's keep the train rolling here, and let's talk about the team that you're most worried about ruining the Titans draft. I think that's an interesting question that Bert came up with earlier tonight. Which team are you most worried about ruining the Titans draft? We'll talk about it together on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and on Twitch right after I remind you that the Primetime program is made possible by the Ashton Real Estate Group of RE/MAX Advantage. Go to GaryAshton.com. Get your dream address without the stress. Don't sell without the intel that the Ashton team can provide to you. Nobody puts you in better position to succeed than the official real estate agent of the playoff-bound Nashville Predators, GaryAshton.com. For more information, again, don't sell without that intel. So looking at the teams around the Titans, you have the Giants currently at 6. You have the Chargers at 5. Of course, 1 through 4 currently looks like the teams that are most quarterback needy, save the Arizona Cardinals, who are scheduled to pick at 4, with the top of the draft, Chicago, Washington, New England, before you get to Arizona, who will almost assuredly trade, unless they're just going to stick and pick Marvin Harrison Jr. to add to their offensive weaponry, because, of course, they do have a great many needs. But of all the teams around the Titans that could potentially spoil your perfect scenario playing out for the Titans, who exists that might be able to do that? I see a lot of answers for the Chargers. I see Hawkins Johnson mentioning both the Giants and the Chargers. And to hear Daniel Jeremiah, who is the radio analyst for the Chargers Radio Network, on top of being the NFL Network's lead draft analyst, he seems to foreshadow specifically what the Chargers under Jim Harbaugh and that new regime might be looking to do.
Hey, what do you give us?
Yeah, I mean, to me, I still think trade out is the way to go. I mean, if you're, you know, looking at the way you mentioned it, and look, when you've paid the quarterback, it's part of the deal, right? You've got to maximize every dollar, maximize every opportunity you have to build talent around the quarterback, because it's a big chunk of your money. The Chiefs done it as, you know, they're the poster child for how they've done that. They've maximized all these different picks. So I would imagine Joe Ortiz is just praying that that phone rings. If it doesn't ring, now you've got a decision to make, because I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, and I said, this is going to sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, because when it was, do you remember the Bengals, the Sewell, Jamar yes. Chase debate, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Everybody was strong on that. And then my thing was, I'm a simpleton. I'm going to take the highest rated player. Who's the best player? To me, with Jamar Chase was a better player coming out than Penei Sewell. So I would stick with the receiver, not going to get too hung up on positional value, what have you. I'm going to do that. And obviously they go to a Super Bowl. That's the pro side. Then Burrow's got hurt. That's the, you know, that's the downside. Mm-hmm. You can still argue. People are still in their trenches on that one, on which way they should have gone with that pick. But I've gone from saying best player available. And I think in most situations with a normal team, normal head coach, normal history of your organization, I would say absolutely. I have a higher grade on Marvin Harrison than I do on Joe Alt. But with this one, with Harbaugh coming in, Joe Ortiz coming in, culture, identity, a team that's been quote unquote a finesse team for as long as I can remember. I've been calling their games for 6 years. They haven't really been a physical team. You're trying to change all that.
Yep.
I just think, man, and I get, trust me, the Charger fans, and they get mad at me, and I'm supposed to be their guy, call the games now, you know, all these years. And they're like, why they need a receiver so bad. And I'm like, I know, but this is not the only round in the draft.
Yep.
And the receivers that you're going to be staring at on day two are pretty darn good versus the tackles you're going to be staring at. You're going to be like, eh, or, you know, and they look, they need interior players.
So that's Daniel Jeremiah talking specifically about the Chargers and the need for an offensive lineman. And that's the correct answer. Now, Bert brought up another scenario that was not the Chargers. I'm going to let him articulate that for himself if he is ready, willing, and able and not in the middle of a video game. But there's a couple of different teams that don't shake your head at me. I know exactly what you're doing. And if you cannot participate in the show, then I'm going to drag you into the show in some form or fashion. But there's a bunch of different options that can be presented. The Chargers is the most glaringly obvious. Though, Bert, if you don't want to appear on camera, so I suppose you can suggest yours in the chat if that is indeed the case. Because it's not just Los Angeles that can spoil the Titans' first round. Now, the beauty of this is that this is a draft that satisfies so many different needs for the Titans that can put you in position to succeed. So even if it's not Alt at 7 and you end up with Bowers, or you end up with Odunze, or you end up with Neighbors, or maybe you trade back and you get Amarius Mims, like, provided that these are players that the coaching staff and scouting staff have properly vetted and have properly approved of, this is a draft class that will really satisfy a variety of your different needs. So I just don't think that there is a doomsday scenario for the Titans in particular that doesn't have them coming away with a player that most people would be satisfied with. But I think that there is, you know, you start to get in your mind that Alt is who you want. Alt is who you need. Alt is who you're going to draft. And then all of a sudden you don't end up with Alt. And the contingent of Titans fans, maybe not a majority of Titans fans, but some of you will be, some of you will be upset with the way that this plays out. And, you know, Caleb Meadows asked Buck, who is the better prospect between Roman and Bowers? It's interesting, because I do think that Bowers is probably, I would argue that Brock Bowers is the third best prospect overall in this draft class, regardless of position. So I will say Bowers with Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr., the most pro-ready prospects, those three feel like the safest, no matter what team you drop them in on, a team should be able to figure it out. Roma Dunze feels like a very reliable, very safe option. He does feel a bit safer to me than Neighbors, though he lacks some of the explosive top-end athletic traits that you like about Neighbors' game and that would make him a game changer more than just a reliable piece of an offense. And I think that Odunze, the comparisons have been interesting to me. And I saw one today to DK Metcalf that I don't quite agree with, but I do think that there's a lot of elements to his game to like. And I understand the angle that some people are taking on that. But Neighbors may be the more high ceiling prospect, while Odunze and Marvin Harrison Jr. are the safer prospects. I would consider Bowers to be probably the third overall best prospect out of any position group in this particular class. I don't know that it's a no-brainer like Jack Ripper says on YouTube, but I do think that there are a lot of things to like about him as a player, and I think that no matter how you come out on the end of this thing, that you would feel pretty good about it. There are a couple of different ways to explore this, and I know that people are kind of set with where they're at on the alt thing, but we'll see how it all plays out. Let's wrap it up with a gone viral video this evening. Actually, before we wrap it up with a gone viral video, I've got a very exciting announcement that I think I'm going to be able to make. I think I'm going to be able to make it tomorrow on the radio show. If not tomorrow on the radio show, for sure tomorrow on the Install podcast with Greg Cosell. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you have not gotten your Install live show tickets, you need to get them right now. I'm going to tell you to get them right now, tonight, Tuesday, April 16th at 9:01 p.m. Central Time, because when I make this announcement, you're not going to have any tickets left to buy. And I want you guys to have the ability to buy tickets as soon as humanly possible, because once we announce this, our special guest for the upcoming Install Live show on Friday, May the 3rd at the Hutton Hotel in the Analog Room, where we will be doing a 3-hour live podcast for you with about 300 of you and your closest Titans fan friends in the house to hear Greg Cosell of NFL Films and our very special guest pick through the film of the new Titans draft class, of Legarius Sneed, of Calvin Ridley, of their best uses in the Titans offense, of Will Levis in particular. So Bert is going to drop the Eventbrite link in there for you right now on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. If you're not familiar with the Install Live Show, if you don't listen to the Install Podcast, again, I'm going to tell you, this is a teaser from last year's show, but this year's show is going to be 10 times bigger and badder, and not just because of the special guest that we're hoping to be able to announce tomorrow.
One and only, the one and only, NFL Films, you know that last name, his carries his own weight. You walk in the room, Super Bowls, Radio Row, whatever it may be, breaking down film breaks it down better than anyone you can think of. And we had a great luxury of being able to have him here. We pulled him out of Billy Joel last night. Like, get on out of here, Greg. You gotta talk in the morning, you know what I'm saying? He tried to stay out all night on Broadway. We said, you can't do that, Greg. You gotta get up here and talk. But this is Greg Cosell. Come on up, Greg. Y'all show him some love.
All right, Slank. All right.
Now listen up. Well, it's only right. I could do this. I could host this event. But.
Well, then we'd have a lot of dumb questions.
Yeah. Yeah,
there you go.
See what I'm saying? I told y'all. I got it warmed up for you, Rick.
So, Ron Slay introducing Greg Cosell of NFL Films last year at the live podcast. Blaine Bishop, the hitman's going to be in the house. All kinds of our show friends are going to be in the house. You're going to want to be there to participate, to ask questions of Greg Cosell. And again, I think I'm going to say 95% certain that I'm going to be able to announce our special guest tomorrow, because I got some very promising text messages today to that effect. And I think that is going to go exactly the way that I think it's going to go. So buy your tickets today at 1045thezone.com or the Eventbrite link that Bert just dropped for you, because like I said, once I make that announcement, there's not going to be any tickets left to buy. Okay, so let us, Stokely says, going to have shrimp cocktail at the event. I don't know what's on the menu, actually. I'm not entirely sure. The VIP tickets do come with dinner. I don't know that shrimp cocktail is on the menu, but I can get the full menu for you if you would desire that. I know that they have a full bar, though, so if you can't get a shrimp cocktail, you can certainly get any other kind of cocktail that you want. I may be drinking cocktails on the stage if Greg will allow me to. I don't know. If that is indeed going to be the case, but we'll see. Perhaps an espresso martini with a little bit of tequila in it will be my cocktail of choice. So full bar. Well, how many podcasts can you get that are 3 hours, tight and specific, that encompass arguably one of the most exciting off seasons that we've had in recent memory, that also come with a full damn bar? I can't treat you guys any better than that. I really can't. B French says, give us a hint on the guest. Ooh. Bert, can you think of a good hint that doesn't give away who my special guest is in particular that you can drop in the chat for me? Perhaps I can perhaps I can get Bert to assist me with it. Bert says he doesn't even know who it is. Well, that's not terribly productive. Well, I'm going to have to respond to Bert. Hopefully this is just in our private chat. Definitely not something... I don't know if that went in the private chat. I don't know where that went. Did it end up in the private chat? I thought I sent it to the main group. Oh, my God. Okay, here's a good one. Major Key says, is it an athlete? He is a former collegiate and NFL player. I will tell you that. He is a former. That can be your hint. He is a former SEC and NFL athlete, and I will leave it at that. That will be your hint. Stokely says, is it Mike Vrabel? No. Although I thought about texting Mike and asking him to donate to LSU. I'm probably still going to do that to ask him. As sure as hell, he's sitting on enough of Amy Adams' drunk money, he can afford to donate a couple extra dollars to Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. So maybe I'll hit Mike up after we wrap the show. But I will say that is a former, Matt Fortner says Keith Bullock. No, incorrect. I said SEC and NFL athlete. I don't know that you guys are going to get it. Angelica Jones says, Angelica James says, is it Ben Jones? It's not Ben Jones. I'm not going to keep listing all these off. Delanie Walker did not play in the SEC. Karen Davis is Peyton Manning. That would be fun, but I don't think that Peyton is going to make an appearance. Either way, you're going to have to wait until, I think, no later than tomorrow for me to be able to announce that. But I'll make sure that I have all my ducks in a row before the radio show goes on the air at 10 a.m. All right, a gone viral video, and let's wrap this bad boy up for the evening. It's great to be back with you guys. I appreciate you giving me a little bit of time off. The gone viral video this week is... Why don't I see it, Bert? What's the gone viral video? Why don't you just play it for me? Is it not in the lineup? Because I don't see it in my...
With the 18th pick in the 2024 WNBA draft, the Las Vegas Aces select Kate Martin. Yeah!
Which defensive player stands to benefit most from the coaching change? Poipel Neupel. Bert, I know you're laughing as hard at that as I am. I could have not said that better to fall into the exact trap that old Poipel is trying to set up. That was, mwah, chef's kiss. He says, Murray, no way to go but up. Talking about Kenneth Murray. Damn it. You're an idiot, and I hate you, Robert. I hate you. Why is that still in the system? Get Poipel Neupel out of here. But yes, that's Kate Martin. That's tonight's gone viral video. She went in attendance. If you're unfamiliar, she is a player from the Iowa Hawkeyes women's basketball team alongside Caitlin Clark. She was there in support of Caitlin Clark, who went first overall to the Indiana Fever, and she ended up being drafted from the stands, from the audience, by the Las Vegas Aces, which was a really, really cool story to see. Not Poipel, Noipel. Get out of here, Bert. Anyway, B. French says he knows who the special guest is for the live show. Okay, well, you can spoil it if you want to. But I would not recommend it. Also, speaking of spoiling things, Moon is creeping around the studio. Perhaps she's going to climb up the back of my office chair the way that she so enjoys doing to make an appearance here on the primetime show. I don't know. Is she around here? No. Let's see if we can't make a Moonbeam appearance at a later date. She is not the special guest, as a matter of fact, but we will let you guys know. Stokely doing the moon thing that Bert does every time, a cat update. Francis is in here passed out. I don't see Moonbeam. Got me looking around. This is not great sports live stream broadcast. Mooney! Normally I hear a chirp. Either way, I was going to try to get you a Moonbeam appearance, but it does not look like anybody is going to cooperate. Either way, perhaps later in the week, we appreciate you guys spending your time with us. Thank you, as always, for hanging out with us here on the A to Z Sports Primetime program. Make sure you like the video on the way out the door. That is the best way to support us on Facebook, on YouTube, or on Twitch. If you're on Twitter, make sure you retweet it. Make sure you tell a friend, because we do this thing Sunday through Thursday night. And we're basically back. I mean, shit, we're back all the way through at this point. I don't have vacation. I don't have any more vacation coming up until July. We got 9 days until the NFL draft. We've got rookie minicamp on the horizon. We've got all manner of great Titan stuff prepared for you, and the live show as well. So we are really in the full swing of things until basically the NFL takes its summer vacation, which makes me happy, because you guys know that I don't like vacation very much. The thing that I love most in my life is talking in front of a microphone. And I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to do that. We will talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on 104.5 The Zone, and then one more time tomorrow night on the primetime program. See you guys.
Go home! Go home! Go home! You're embarrassing Nashville! Go home!